Chapter 44. My mechanic's skills bordered on the supernatural. He left word with me that the Beetle was ready to resume active duty, and that while it didn't look like much, the car would roll when I pushed the pedals, which was all I really needed it to do. So Molly and I rolled up to the lakeside warehouse, where I'd met with the council at the start of this mess. When I shut down the engine, the Beetle rattled and shuddered hard enough to click my teeth together before it died. It continued wheezing and clicking for several seconds afterward. Molly stared out ahead of her, her face pale.
Is this the place?
The rundown old warehouse looked different in the orange evening light than it had at high noon. Shadows were longer and darker, and emphasized the flaws and dents in the building, giving the place a much more run-down, abandoned appearance than I had remembered. There were fewer cars there as well, and it gave the place an even more abandoned atmosphere. That's the place, I said quietly. You ready? She swallowed. Sure, she said, but she looked frightened and very, very young. What comes next? I got out of the car as an answer, and Molly followed suit. I squinted around, but no one was in sight, until the air shimmered about 20 feet away, and Ramirez stepped out of the veil that had hidden him. Carlos Ramirez was the youngest wizard ever given the post of regional commander in the Wardens. He was average height, his skin glowing with bronze health, and he wore both the gray cloak of the Wardens and one of their, or rather our, except that I don't have one, silver swords at his left hip. At his right, he wore a heavy semi-automatic in a holster, and his military-style web belt also bore several hand grenades. Good veil, I said. Way better than the other day. I wasn't here the other day, he assured me with bland confidence. Your work? I asked. I make it look easy, he said, without a trace of modesty. It's a curse to be so damn talented when I'm already obscenely good-looking, but I try to soldier on as best I can. I laughed and offered him my hand. He shook it. Dresden, he said. Ramirez, I nodded to my right. This is Molly Carpenter. He glanced at the girl, looking her up and down. Miss, he said, without a polite bow of his head. He glanced at me, indicated a direction with his hand, and said, They're ready for you. Bud, walk with me for a minute. I need to talk with you. He glanced at Molly. Privately. I arched a brow at him. Molly, I'll be right back. She bit her lip and nodded.
Oh, okay.
Miss, Ramirez said with a somewhat apologetic smile, I need you to remain exactly where you're standing now. All right? Hell's bells, I muttered. You think she's that dangerous? I think it's security protocol, Ramirez said. If you didn't want me doing it, you shouldn't have asked me. I started to snarl an answer, but I choked it down and said, Fine. Molly, just stand there for now. I won't go out of sight of you. She nodded, and I turned with Ramirez. We walked several paces away over the gravel before he asked, That the kid? Ramirez wasn't old enough to get good car insurance rates himself, much less to refer to someone as a kid, though he'd had to grow up awfully swiftly. He'd been an apprentice when the war with the Red Court erupted, and he'd done good service for the council upon attaining status as a full wizard, fighting in several nasty engagements with the vampires. It was the kind of thing that made a man age in a hurry. That's her, I confirmed. Did you get a chance to examine the victims? Yeah. He frowned and watched me for a moment before he said, She's someone you know. I nodded. He glanced back at her. Crud. I frowned at him. Why? I don't think today is going to go well for her, Ramirez said. My stomach suddenly felt cold. Why not? Because of how the battle in Oregon played out, he said. Once the forces from Summer attacked their rear, we gave the vamps one hell of a beating. Morgan got within about 20 feet of the Red King himself. Morgan killed him? No, but it wasn't for a lack of trying. He cut down a duke and a pair of counts before the Red King got away. Damn, I said, impressed. But what does that have to do with Molly? We had the Reds by the balls, Ramirez said. Sunrise was coming in the real world, and when they tried to retreat into the Never Never, the fairies were on them like a school of piranha. The Reds had to find a way to draw off some of our heavies, and they found it. Lucio's boot camp. I drew in a breath. They attacked Lucio and the newbies?
Yeah. McCoy listens to wind, and Martha Liberty led a force from the battle to relieve the camp.
They did, huh? How'd it go? He took a deep breath and said,
they haven't reported in yet, and that means...
It means that my support in the senior council isn't here to help me. Ramirez nodded. Who has their proxies?
We didn't hear from you until after they had left, so they didn't entrust their proxies to anyone.
I sighed.
So the Merlin holds them by default, and he doesn't much like me. He'd cast the votes to condemn her just to spite me.
It gets better, he said. Ancient Mai is still in Indonesia, and La Fortier is covering the Venatori while they relocate. The Merlin has their votes, too, and I don't think the gatekeeper is coming.